truth is, I ran up here so quick because I didn't want to have to follow Karen. But then she sang, and the truth is, I'm glad I'm following Karen. Because what a message to be wholehearted, very exciting. Some of you have asked me, as I've been running back and forth, offering. We didn't have offering. We will have offering. It's part of the message, if that gives you a clue as to what we'll be talking about today. Doing things a little bit different this morning. I want to tell a joke that I may have told in the past. You may remember, not remember. I don't even remember if I told it. But you're going to hear it again. And there was a man who was great wealth, multi-millionaire. And he had passed away, and his wife went to the attorney for the reading of the will. And they didn't have any children, so she knew everything would be left to her, of course. And as the will was read, there was only one sentence: my dying wish is to be buried with all my money. So about a month later, it was a small town, and news gets around a small town. About a month later, this woman went out, and she had a brand new fur coat, and she was driving a brand new Mercedes-Benz, and she was, you know, people thought, boy, where'd all this money come from? And as the weeks went on, she kept buying. She bought a great big house on the hill and went on vacations all over the world. And finally, somebody in town had enough nerve to go up and tell her about it. And they went up and they said, you know, your husband's one dying wish was to be buried with all of his money. You should be ashamed of yourself. And she said, I wrote him a check. I used to follow that joke with you can't take it with you. But my message today is you can take it with you. And I heard an illustration that went along with this message today, and so I was driving, so I couldn't write it down. So as soon as I got to work, I wrote it down and then looked up a little bit of the details later. But during the initial construction of the Golden Gate Bridge, there were no safety devices used, and 23 men had fallen to their deaths. When you fall from the height of that, it's like hitting a brick wall when you hit that water. And so for the final part of the project, it was actually the final two-thirds of the project, a large net was used as a safety precaution. This was the first time something like this was constructed, a net to save the lives of any men who fall. At least 10 men fell into it and were saved from certain death. Even more interesting, however, is the fact that 25% more work was accomplished after the net was installed. Why? We'll treat this like a Sunday school class. I'm more comfortable in Sunday school than I am. I don't know about standing higher than other people and speaking. It's just a little more intimidating. But why? Right. Fear will limit. And I am terrible with heights. We went over to the Johnstown Incline Plane, my wife and the boys, and every time didn't get close when we got up there to look out over. But every time they got close, I got sick in my stomach, so I had to turn around. And I get really sick about that. I used to have dreams that I was in a Ferris wheel and the kids were sliding out and I'd have to grab them. And those terrible things that you have when you have young kids. But I'm going to talk about money today, maybe a little different than you've heard it in the past, I hope, to be a little different. But 15% of Christ's words, 15%, that's a significant number, was spent on the subject of money. Okay, that's a pretty, and we've heard that he spoke more on hell than he spoke on heaven, but 15% of what he had to say had to do with money. And before we get into that, I want to do a little bit of an exercise here. How many of you, by show of hands, be truthful, how many of you would like to be more fit than you are right now? Have a better heart than you have right now, be a little stronger, faster, okay? It's unanimous, okay? How many of you like to be more financially secure than what you are right now? Okay, I think all of us. How many of you would like to be less financially secure? Maybe I should ask that. But how about generous? How many of you would like to be more generous than you are right now? I'd love to be more generous than what I am right now. I just, in my heart, I would like, I'm not saying give more money. I'm saying be more generous. And by that I mean some people can give more than others, but Sometimes people who give less are more generous than those who have a lot and give little, even though the money they're giving is greater. But I ask you these questions, and there's no one here that doesn't desire to be more fit. There's no one here that doesn't desire to be a little more financially secure than what they are. There's nobody here that doesn't desire to be a little more generous. But the fact is, everybody has desire, but few have commitment. The truth is, you can have all three of those. But how many people will? I'm probably not going to exercise today. I'll be right up front with you. I'm hoping to. I actually had the thought this morning of doing it, but I hope I do. But there's a difference between desire and commitment. Desire is wanting, and commitment is doing. And I'm going to talk about money today, but money is really just an object, an illustration, I hope, to look at your whole life and where you're at in your whole life. I want to come, we have this when and then. When my kids leave, I'll be able to give more to the church. When I retire, I'll be able to give more time to God. You know, when and then. When this happens, then I could do that. When I get a better job, then I can do this. We have a when and then, but the truth is tomorrow never comes because tomorrow is always tomorrow and never today. But I wrote a couple things down here from Dave Ramsey that are kind of interesting to get our head pointed in the right direction. And that's, you know, we buy things that we don't need with money we don't have to impress people we really don't like. I've done that. Do you ever buy something you really didn't need? You know, my 50th birthday's coming up. So I'm already thinking in my head, that's a big one. I'll probably get something a little better, you know. And you know, honey, we got a new Grice's flyer in the, just slide it across the island. But if you don't know what Grice's is, you won't understand. But another thing is you have to live like no one else. So later, you can live like no one else. What Dave Ramsey means by that is you really have to bite the bullet sometimes to get out of the hole you're in, so that you can get to a place where you can live like nobody else. So I want to talk about four benefits for you of laying up treasures in heaven. Four benefits of you. Now, the first three benefits are all encompassed in the fourth benefit. So the fourth benefit is more of a conclusion to the message. But I say you because God wants to bless you with this teaching. You know, we sing, I was thinking of this song, I actually listened to it in this morning, I listened to it in the shower, yes, but it was Jesus, Lover of My Soul, and it says, it's all about you, Jesus, it's all about you, and then it says, it's not about me as if you would do things my way. When Jesus died on the cross, he was thinking of you, not himself, wasn't he? Was not that the most selfless act ever? He was thinking of you. So we say to Jesus, it's all about you. And Jesus says, no, it's all about you. And then we say, no, 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 it's all about you. And then Jesus says, no, it's all about you. And it's like the two teenagers, I love you more. No, 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 I love you more. No, 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 I love you more. And that's our relationship with Christ. And the reason I say that is because I'm going to talk about money. And sometimes the perception when somebody stands before a congregation that passes an offering plate, which some of you said, hey, we haven't taken offering. We will. But there's a feeling of trying to get something. I'm trying to get nothing whatsoever from this message monetarily. But I would hope that it would benefit you. This is all for you. And God's word about money is all to bless the giver. Not to leave the giver with less, but to bless. Not to leave the giver with less, but to bless the giver. And the first reason that God wants to bless you, the benefit of laying up your treasures in heaven, is you will align your will with God's will for your life. You can bring those verses up. I guess she has them. And We're in 1 Timothy 6:10. It says, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." We find that when we chase after money, when we hold on to money, when we love money, that it's the root of all kinds of problems and evil in our life. And we wander from the faith and we pierce ourselves with many griefs. So what Jesus is saying in the Bible when he asks you to give is he's saying, I want you to remain true because I can bless you there, but I cannot bless you if you wander in the faith. Matthew 19:21. I'm going to move through these 3 points a little quicker so that I can get to the last point. Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go sell all your possessions, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." This was aligning the heart. Does anybody remember who this verse is about? Who they're talking to here? The rich man? Yeah. And so he comes and he says, "I've obeyed the law in every point." And Jesus says, "Well, great, that's wonderful. Go sell everything you have and follow me." And what happened to him after that? What was his decision? Turned away sad, disappointed in the answer that he had received. Please don't turn away from this message disappointed or sad. You have an opportunity to tap into great wealth. Now, I know you hear that sometimes on TV with the, you know, the prosperity gospel. If you realize what wealth is, what it truly is, and you seek it, you'll be wealthy. I don't know whether you'll ever be rich monetarily, but you will be wealthy and you'll be taken care of. Okay? In Luke 16:13-15, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Go on to 14. "The Pharisees, who loved money, heard all this and were sneering at Jesus. He said to them, 'You are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of others, but God knows your hearts. What people value highly is detestable in God's sight.'" The illustration that what Jesus is trying to point out to the Pharisees here is they've made money their God, but yet God was standing right before them. And so their heart was out of line with God. Their heart was not in alignment with God. And it's a great benefit to have your heart in line with God's will for your life. God has a will for each and every one of you. Listen up, young people. If you're in grade school, high school, college, listen up to me. God has a plan for your life. If you follow it, you will have the best life you could ever have, period. And you may say, "Yeah, but I want this." But God knows what you want more than you do. I said in Sunday school, we were talking about a different subject, but I said about, you know, when we put money away in our 401k, it comes out of our paycheck or retirement IRA, however you do it. When we put that money away, somebody else who knows a whole lot more about the stock market then takes care of it, right? We don't take care of it ourselves. Why? Because we want somebody who knows more about it to bless it and to use their expertise and their knowledge to grow it. In our lives, if you want to have a fruitful life, go to the person who created fruit. Go to the person who knows how to make your life as a blessed life as it could possibly be. And finally, in Luke 18:10-13, it says, "Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, 'God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, and even like this tax collector over here. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get.' But the tax collector stood at the distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, 'God, have mercy on me, a sinner.'" Can we go to the next verse? I don't think I wrote enough verses down there. I'm sorry. You have the verses in. Never mind. But what happens after this is that Jesus asked which one, you know, was justified in his heart. The tax collector or the Pharisee. And you can see which one was righteous, which one had their heart in alignment with God, the one who gave a lot or the one who didn't have a lot to give. And then ask yourself which one gave more. So to align your heart with God is benefit number one, because God knows what's best for your life if you align your heart with God. And we know that when our money is right with God, our hearts and our lives are right with God. Number two, you will be content. The first point that I'm making to benefit is you will align your heart with God's for the will that he has for your life. The second one is you will be content or happy. The word content would be happy. Hebrews 13:5. And again, I'm going to move through these first three a little quicker because we're going to camp out on the last one a little quicker. But keep your lives free from the love of money and be content in what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. When we are not content with what we have, this is exactly what we are saying to God. I need to do it because you're not. I trust me, I do not trust you, is what you're saying. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. When we start to try to do our own thing because we think it's best, we see that if I give a tithe this week, I'm going to be in trouble financially, and so I better not do that. We are not trusting that God will not leave us hanging. He will not leave us or forsake us. 1 Timothy. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we could take nothing out of it. Being happy with what you have is being rich. It really is. It really is being happy. So many wealthy people by percentage are unhappy, and so many poor people are so happy. And I used this illustration before in Sunday school, but Abraham Lincoln grew up very poor. Okay, you heard about the one-room cabin and everything. He actually lived while they built the cabin in a lean-to. They slept under a lean-to as a family close together. It was warm out. It was like camping. But they camped out until they got the one-room house built. And he had tried to become a land surveyor, and he had done these different things. But finally, in Lincoln's life, he had educated himself at the local library enough to become an attorney. And in those days, you didn't go to Hollidaysburg, the county seat, to be on trial. You would get arrested, and then Abraham Lincoln would come. And I know I used this illustration before, but it really fits in here with contentment. But he had finally made something of himself and was making good money. So he hopped on a barge that was going down the river so he could get to the next city so he could try the people that were arrested in that city and defend them as a public defender. And when he was on there were slaves, and he was miserable. He was depressed. He suffered from depression. He was miserable. He got on it. He was thinking of all the things that were going wrong in his life. And he got on it, and there was singing. There were slaves. They were all shackled together, and they were all singing hymns. And he considered, why are these people so happy and I'm so sad when they're slaves in chains and I've finally made it in life? Contentment is a great gain. And the last one, Philippians 4:19. And my God will meet all your needs according to his riches and his glory in Christ Jesus. And the proclamation here in the letter to the Philippians is, my God will meet all your needs. The letter that's being written to the Philippians, we just studied the first church in Philippians, and it's in Acts chapter 16 with the soul winning of Lydia, and it went on to be a church. And there was believers there before, but no organized church before Paul and Silas went in. And so, according to the riches in his glory, he's saying, don't worry, my God will supply you. Don't worry. God, Dave just said that about our youth pastor. God will supply. He does. And so we're to be content with what we have and not worry. Let's go on to number three. This is a little bit more of it builds here. But I said, you will align your heart with God's will for your life. You will be content. And number three, you will be free to live rather than die. Number three, I'm going to focus on that safety net that was put under the Golden Gate Bridge. There is freedom to live, okay, and storing your treasure in heaven. In 1 Timothy 6:17-19, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they might take hold of the life, or of the life that is truly life. And I want to focus on that last statement. So that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. You know that death is not the end of anything. Death is eternal. We, in our minds, we kind of have this thought that you're born into existence, so when you die, you cease to exist. Even a seed that falls to the ground and dies sprouts forth new life. You are going to live eternally with God, or you are going to die eternally in a lake of fire. Likewise, right now, today, tomorrow, the next day, and until the day your body passes away on earth, you will either live or die. You can live today or you can die today. And that's what this verse is saying about truly live, not the kind of living that is dying. Those living for this world are in a state of death because this world is dying. Death is not the end, it is a state of being. The Bible says that people who are alive around us are walking around, and it says they're dead. They're dead in Christ. You know, there's the big thing, zombies on TV and movies and stuff. You see all these zombies. But there are people today walking around alive, but are they really living? And that's what this verse is saying. You'll be free to live rather than die. Death is a state that you live in. And the reason is because God has condemned this world to die. During the election, we were talking in Sunday school, and we were talking about when Trump became the nominee and for the Republican Party, and Hillary became the nominee for the Democratic Party, and everybody in the United States says, is this who we have to pick from? Are these the two we have to pick from? Why would God allow these two to be the ones to pick from? Why wouldn't he give us a better choice? I'll tell you why. The earth is condemned to die. It's a sinking ship. Do you think God's going to take his best people and have them command that ship? It's dying. That's why he gives us bozos for leaders. And that's why he gives the church such great men. I can look out here and just look at men right now and see them. And I'll tell you what, I guarantee just about every man sitting in this thing makes more sense than any politician I've ever heard. Is smarter, is more capable, is more wise. Now, not all politicians. There are politicians like men sitting here. I'm not condemning them all. But the truth of the matter is, God puts them in the church because that's going to go on forever. The earth is dying. You know, I can patch a hole in one side of the boat, but the hole's too big on the other side. My patch isn't going to do anything to this world. So we don't live for this world, because if we do, we're actually dying. We live for eternity in Christ, because then we are truly living, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Free to do what you want is being free from God. And being free from God changes you, handcuffs you to sin. You become a slave to sin. That's why he said you can't serve two masters. You are going to be a master of one or two things, and it's either going to be sin or it's going to be God. What you want to do is sin. And so if you want to do what you want to do rather than God wants to do, I can tell you right now what you want to do. You want to sin. I want to sin. We all want to sin. And so that's what we wind up doing, free of God. And so that's one choice. The second choice, free to do God's will, is freedom from sin. It's the best case scenario for your life. God wants you to be blessed in this. Now, we get to the final point and where I wanted to camp a little bit more on, and we'll turn to Matthew chapter 6. My point for the benefit for number 4 is that you can take it with you. That's also the sermon title. You can take everything in this life that's for God with you, but you can't take anything that you live for this world with you. And I talked about the lady that was out spending her husband's money but wrote him a check. And the truth is, he couldn't take it with him either way. But turning to Matthew chapter 6, and we'll start in verse 1. I don't know if you're able to do that. We're going to look at the chapter. Let me ask you this question. What is treasure? How would you define treasure? Something of value. What do you value the most? That's what treasure is. For some, it's money. Where does money compare on your list to your kids or your family? Money starts to look a lot less like less of a blessing. I wouldn't trade all the money I've ever earned in the world for one day with my kids. Better is one day in your house than 1,000 elsewhere. And so think of treasure, but you can take it with you. And I'm going to read from here. Matthew chapter 6, I'm actually going to be reading from CSB. Be careful not to practice righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father in heaven. So whenever you give to the poor, don't sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be applauded by the people. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward. But when you give to the poor, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Whenever you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, because they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by people. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into the private room, shut your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you pray, don't babble like the Gentiles, since they imagine they'll be heard for many words. Don't be like them, because your Father knows the things that you need before you ask him. And then he goes on to say, therefore, you should pray like this. And we have what is often called the Lord's Prayer or the model prayer. And so then it goes on to talk in verse 16. I'm going to skip ahead a little bit. It says, whenever you fast, don't be gloomy like the hypocrites, for they make their faces unattractive. And so he tells us not to fast that way, but to keep it in secret as well. And then we're going to stop there, and we'll pick up in verse 19. But the whole first part of this chapter, he's saying, don't do all this stuff for outward appearance or to win the applause or glory of man. The reason he's saying that is because he doesn't want you to lose your reward. This is a benefit for you to do it for God rather than man. And as a matter of fact, to keep yourself from temptation, you should even avoid letting man, even letting yourself know what you're doing, your left hand or your right. And so the purpose of Matthew chapter 6 is to have a worship, to have a giving that will go on beyond so that you can take it with you. When we do these things for man, we have a reward here. If I finish today and you all stand up and clap, I've had my reward. But if you consider the words that God has spoken to you today, forget me and go out and live a changed life, maybe I'll have a well done, you know. Maybe I'll get a crown that I can throw back to Christ. But let's look at verse 19 in Matthew chapter 6. It says, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. And so now he turns it, he starts out talking about prayer and worship, and then he talks about fasting, but now he turns to money and he says, do not store. So we know that we're supposed to pray not to receive the applause of men and to be heard and somebody, you know, say, boy, he's a great prayer. Boy, when he prays, I swear the hand of God moves, as if I could do that. in and of myself move the hand of God. And he also tells us when we fast, and that a lot of fasting has to do with sacrifice or withholding from yourself. And that can go along with people who are always, woe is me. You know, I'm look at my color because I'm serving the Lord so hard, I'm so tired. I do so much for the Lord, and I know everybody says I should do less, but you know I can't say no, you know me. And we get that attitude, and he's saying, don't do that because you lose your reward. But now we're on to money, okay? And in talking about money, God is saying, if you store it in the kingdom of God, you will receive it back many times more in eternity. But so not only, if I go back through these, will your heart be aligned with God, if your money is aligned with God, you will be content and you'll be happy, you'll be living, truly living, and you'll also be able to take every penny of it and more with you. Now, that's not the reason I'm doing it, but God still wants to bless me because he was on a cross saying, I'm doing this all for you. I'm not thinking of me right now. His comfort from the pain on the cross was your face as he suffered. Rick, I was glad that you picked that song, Blessed Be the Name of the Lord. It says there's pain in the offering, you know. Paul count the pain and suffering of this world to be nothing compared to the glory of Christ that he would receive when he went to heaven, knowing he looked ahead to eternity, and he pressed, he pushed with every aspect of his life to be like that. And I can tell you right now, in my own life, that when I was first saved, I made $6 an hour, okay? That's how much I made. And you think, well, that's forever ago. No wonder. But I think minimum wage was $5.75. So take that to the day. That's what I made. And I got a raise after 6 months for 10 cents. Okay? And then I got a dollar raise, but I was given 50 cents and then another 50 cents at a later time. And that's how it went on. And so I felt, being newly married, not making any money, that I could I couldn't give, or how would I give, or whatever. But I actually heard these words. Pastor Scruggs taught me this. He was very adamant about giving. He says, Rob, if you want to be blessed, he goes, don't be like, I see so many people struggle, don't be like them, give, give, give. And I'm thinking, that makes no sense whatsoever. To give my money, I'm going to have less, right? And so I just took his word for it. I took the Lord's word for it. He was my pastor, and I began to give. And when I started at the Shoe Fly, Todd called me, and I had been downsized from a job. I had gotten a decent job, and the company was bought out 2 weeks after I was there, and then he said, we're getting rid of two people, and you two were hired the most recent, so I lost my job. And I went and got unemployment and was looking for a job. And Todd had this big dream, Todd Lewis, if you know Todd. And I just thought, he told me his whole dream, and I was like, I'll work for you for a little bit until I find something. That's all, and I'm still there, you know that. But God blessed me because I gave. And you know what? I truly believe that God blessed our business because I gave. I really do. When we were researching the possibility of building this church, we had a consultant that was $3,000. And I probably shouldn't say this. Don't tell him I told you, because he's probably trying to keep it hidden. But Todd Lewis paid for half of that. He doesn't go to this church. He doesn't know anybody's church. But he said, your church is moving in this town. So good things are happening. I want to be a help. And so that happened. But I've been blessed in my life, and it's way beyond the Shoe Fly. It's way beyond the Shoe Fly. The blessings that come from giving are incredible. They really are. I'm not telling you to just blindly write a check for your whole checking account and put it in the thing. I'm saying pray to God. Go home. Not today. Go home and ask yourself, does my heart need alignment with God? Could I be more content with what I have and be happier? Could I be really truly living. Paycheck to paycheck's not living. I've done that, okay? I think the first time in my life not living paycheck to paycheck. And like I said, I'm going to be 50 in a couple months. But I could have been that way a lot earlier if I would have been content, more content than what I am now. It took the Lord a long time with me. But finally, you can take it with you. The best investment you will ever make is in the offering plate that we're about to pass. And if I could have the ushers, I want to take an offering, and I would like every one of you to give what you planned and no more when we take this offering. Do not give more because I gave a message today. I want you to give exactly what you would have given. But here's what I'd like to do. When that offering plate is passed, I don't make my tithe every week. I make my tithe when I get paid. So there are some weeks I let the offering plate pass. I don't put anything in it, okay? But I want to point something out with these offering plates. God is not asking for your money, and God's not asking for your time, your energy, your resources. He's asking for your heart. And he knows that if he can get you to give these things, he will have your heart and you will flourish. You will blossom and you will be blessed. And so what I would like you to do is, if you don't have an offering today to give because you plan on giving next week or you gave last week, that's fine. But take the offering plate anyway and put in there mentally, tell God what you're putting in. Maybe it's commitment, time, the use of whatever. Maybe you have a third vehicle that you could give away, but you're planning on selling. I don't know what it is. But God's asking you to give. And he's not talking about money. He's talking about everything. To give everything that you have amassed so that he can give you more. And again, this is not a wealth thing. You sow a seed and then you sow more and you sow more, and pretty soon everybody in the church is a millionaire. You know, when the truth is, the guys who say that are the only ones that end up a millionaire, and those health and wealth preachers. It's not true. Things do get tough. I can guarantee I was tested when I gave. I gave and I hurt, but Rick sang, there's pain in the offering. But what does pain bring? It brings a heart that becomes right with God, and a heart right for God is the greatest blessing that you'll ever receive, this side and the other side of heaven. So men, if you'd come. I'm going to read some verses as the offertory goes here, if I can look them up. Or you probably have those, if you could put those up beyond Matthew 6, starting with Luke 6, 38. Okay, and let's pray. Father, this is sometimes a hard message to preach and also to prepare for, because I worry about what people would think about having a message about money in church. But Lord, I'm not afraid to preach it. Because of my own life, I know how much those who are hurting can be blessed by you, Lord, if they give their life to you. And it might not be money immediately, but it can be time. It can be anything. Form of faith and commitment to you, Lord, that you could bless, that they might be able to in time give even more to you and more to you and more to you. And I just pray that you would work in each of us to align our hearts with you. And I pray, as these offering plates are passed, that each person would at least touch the plate and put in, Lord, their commitment to you in that plate, Lord, and that you would hear their commitment, Lord, and provide for them to keep their commitment. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured out into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. And finally, then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. I like this verse. Moreover, when God gives someone wealth and possessions and the ability to enjoy them, to accept their lot and be happy in their toil, this is the gift of God. Let me read it one more time. Moreover, when God gives someone wealth and possessions and the ability to enjoy them, to accept their lot and to be happy in their toil, this is the gift of God. Will you receive the gift of God in committing your whole heart, your whole life, all of your time, all of your resources that He's given to you first back to Him and be blessed by the Lord? Thank you.